I want to talk a little bit about this passage from Romans, but just a word about the first and third reading. They're playing off each other, obviously, about the Word of God. This particular passage in Matthew, all scholars that I know, is evidence of the fact of the development of the Jesus tradition. Huh? Jesus didn't give this big, long explanation of this stuff. Jesus was just busy talking about the kingdom of God. And it's only two generations later when some Jews had heard all this stuff and then fell away that the author of the gospel then provided this explanation, because that was a real shock and a source of distress for the people who had not fallen away. So that's what's going on. Okay. Paul's favorite way of talking about Jesus, we've been talking about how we understand Jesus, and Paul's favorite way was to talk about Jesus as the new Adam. In other words, he relies very heavily on the first three chapters of the book of Genesis, the creation stories. And as you remember, he says what was collapsed in one human being is restored in another human being. And you remember, again, in the creation story, that the world was given to us human beings as a garden, as a place for us to live and fulfill ourselves by working in that garden. And it's only after this primal lie, this act of self-deception, you'll be just like God, that they bought into, that the world did not become a garden anymore, but became a place of toil and anguish and distress. But note, please, it's not that the world changed, it's that people changed. It's the inner incoherence of the human being that made the world seem not a garden, but a place of great resistance. Everybody knows that, has that experience, I think, of this dumb machine, this lousy tool. This machine's not dumb. Tool's not lousy. It's because we're messed up. That we want to attribute the failure to somebody else. This is a normal kind of thing. And one of the consequences, therefore, of the restoration of the human condition in this man Jesus is the restoration of the nature of the world. The world, again, is supposed to be a garden. And the world is supposed to, inanimate creation, is supposed to fulfill God's intention as well, through the agency of human beings. Just as it says, creation was subjected to futility, not of its own, but by the will of the one who subjected it, namely us human beings, we human beings, who messed up and therefore spoiled our relationship with each other and with creation itself. It'd be very interesting if Paul were alive today and saw all the polar bears downing and 25 of the species of the plants and the birds and the sea creatures disappearing in the last 10 years. Global warming, you know, in 2050 we're going to reduce greenhouse gases thanks to the G8. We may all be dead by then. So Paul, you could, without exaggerating, say he was a kind of proto-ecologist. Once we restore our own humanity, then our relationship to the world will not be that the world is simply my kicks closet that I can exploit to my own will because I'm independent of God and the world is just there for my taking, but I and the rest of creation are the creatures of God. And therefore I come to creation with reverence and a real sense of fellow feeling. Not just something for me to do precisely what I want with. The essence of sin is a declaration of independence from God. And if I'm independent from God, then the world takes on a radically different character. It's just there for, totally for my benefit, totally at my disposal. Well, we've seen what we've managed to accomplish, living in the world under that illusion. Ecological disaster. We're talking about rainforests, the coral reefs, extinction of species, I think we're in really bad shape. You know? It's even dawning on a whole bunch of people, not leaders necessarily of the world. George Bush, I think, still deep in his heart thinks that global warming is some nasty communist plot. But it's very important, I think, to see what Paul is saying, that if we are restored in Christ, then the world is restored in Christ. It's not reduced to the futility of our exploitative manipulation of the world. It's really important stuff. Today particularly, we're to love the world. We're to cherish it. We are part of the world. We're not the masters of the world. We're simply part of this great pattern of creation. And we're beginning to see the consequences of not dealing with the world in that way, but what Paul is offering, the sense that all of creation, God's will not be thwarted, that all of creation will achieve what God intended. That the world will become, again, a garden for us, a home for us.